Thanks for joining us for The Hope Dealer. Every week, we'll take you behind the scenes of street ministry, sharing stories from Salem and beyond, talking about faith in action, and exploring what it really looks like to love people who are often overlooked or forgotten. Matt Massera has dedicated his life to meeting people where they are and pointing them to Jesus Christ. Matt reminds us that no one is beyond hope. This is The Hope Dealer.
Hey, everybody. Glad to be here with you. I got James Farmer here with me today, and you know, we've got some things that we wanted to discuss, but I wanted to introduce you all to James Farmer. I get to be in ministry with him, and he is a fellow that comes out of, you know, working 28 years in the judicial system, except he was just as much a criminal as I was. His crimes were a little bit different. So just, you know, a little backstory for James. He attends JBC, Jefferson Baptist Church. But him being able to share a little bit, and then us getting into discussing that, you know, not every church is actually a church according to scripture.
Yeah, I think that's a very interesting topic. So let's just go ahead and dive right in with that.
Yeah. What do you got for us?
Well, thank you for having me. It's been an interesting journey in my life. I did work for Oregon Youth Authority for roughly 27 and a half years. So we used a little Baptist math and rounded it up to 28. you know, as you guys can probably just take a look around, Oregon Youth Authority has been in the news for not a lot of good reasons lately. And there's ongoing investigations going on in that department. You know, as far as a little bit of backstory about me, you know, I was a disobedient son for about 32 years or so, and I didn't want anything to do with Jesus. He was going to get in the way of my sin. I started working for Oregon Youth Authority when I was 22. And, you know, when you go into work there, it's, you know, it's literally guys, you know, threatening you, threatening your family every day. And so, I fell in love with steroids. I'm kind of a larger guy as it is, but steroids made me a much larger guy and a much more angry guy. And, they do not help in any decision-making, any critical thinking. I can't recommend them, but, yeah, if I would have been, you know, caught for the amount of steroids that I had on me or what I had sold to other people, I would have easily been in federal penitentiary myself. And, so, you know, through the course of worshiping the unholy trinity of me, myself, and I for about 32 years, there was various low points in my life through my sexual sin. You know, I bought and paid for 3 abortions, which is murder. And I was the chauffeur. I was the one who paid for it. And I know I've been forgiven for that sin, but I remember that every day, and I'm thankful for what the Lord has done in my life. And, you know, in 2017 is when I moved to Jefferson, my wife and I, and Jefferson Baptist was the third church that I found. And it was a real difficult transition after 32 years of doing what I wanted to do.
Yeah.
And so, a lot of learning. Pastor D. Duke is our senior pastor, and I started attending his leadership classes. I had a lot of ideas in my head what being a man of the house was, but what does the Bible say about what a spiritual leader is in the home? And my ideas did not line up with scripture, that's for sure. And I needed that additional discipleship from Pastor D. and his leadership classes, because most men, I just thought going to work and paying the bills, that's what made you a man.
Yeah, I was going to say, can you break that down a little bit more, how they did not jive? Because I think you're probably not alone in that.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, there's this. So when I was going through, you know, Oregon Youth Authority is very data driven. And while I worked there over the course of my time there in 28 years, the average young man that was in our incarceration, 8 out of 10 of them had no fathers in the home.
Yeah.
There's a correlation there. And I think that if we extrapolate that to, you know, current world today and what culture says today, and essentially the absence of fathers in the home via they don't want to be there or they have been literally just exited out of the home.
Yep.
It's a very unenviable task for a mom to try to teach a young boy how to be a man.
Mm-hmm. It's impossible.
It's impossible. Yeah. I have a granddaughter and it's not a sexist thing to say that I can't teach her how to be a woman. I don't know. I don't have any experiential knowledge of that. So I think that what happens is then, as we discussed, or I heard Matt talking earlier about homelessness, and one of those key issues is the, you know, literally the evaporation and destruction of the nuclear family. Mm-hmm. You know, God had intended roles for men and women to play in the creation and construction and the maintaining of a family. And when one of those roles is not present, that family will suffer. Mm-hmm. And you know, and I grew up with no father that mm-hmm. Was interested in my life. So I was literally deciding day to day what was going to be in my best interest. And without Jesus being my guidestone, I decided what was good for me was virtuous. You know, what was going to benefit me was going to be virtuous. So I think in that there's a lot of things to unwrap with men today as far as how they see themselves as a leader in the home and what the Bible tells us about what that spiritual leader looks like. And then what the culture says, and the culture has zero value for fatherhood. And so, yeah, it's
that's very true.
It was pretty astounding, you know, going through mm-hmm. that leadership class. And I think it's one of the things that has really set Jefferson Baptist apart was Pastor D has been doing that leadership group for men now for like 46 years.
Oh, wow.
And it's just an amazing class. I can't recommend it enough. It really opened up my eyes to, I have a deeper responsibility to my family, my children, my grandchildren than what I believed. And so.
And so what does that look like for you now? Like you give this picture, this glimpse of who the evil man was, who the wayward son was that was, you know, entrenched in sin and all different types of carnality. And what does life look like now, though? Now that you're a surrendered man, that you are the man that God describes as love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, you know, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, and self-controlled, Holy Spirit-led man. Yeah, what does life look like?
Yeah, it's definitely a new life. And it's not something that it's easily described. You know, when I first came back to the church or to the church in 2017, I know the Lord saved me, but I had a lot of stupid left in me. And so I'd never had more people genuinely ask me how I was doing instead of that just being a formal greeting on the side of the road. Hey, how you doing? And walk past you. It was, hey, how you doing, man? How's things going? And, you know, at first I was like, this is weird. Like, I'm not used to this. Like people actually inquiring. And so, you know, it's just a huge blessing after going through the classes. I became an employee at Jefferson Baptist. I work for them now. We do the Most Excellent Way Victory Over Addictions group on Monday nights there and on Friday nights there. We started, back in the summer of 2020, there was a real push during COVID to keep everybody indoors. And so Jefferson Baptist, we decided to do a Joy in the Park event, Joy standing for Jesus, others, and you, and just have a community barbecue. And when we were putting that together, Melissa Oyen, who was our director of the event, invited Matthew and Bebold Street Ministries. And after I had gone through Pastor D's leadership class, my wife and I were actively involved in homeless ministry in Albany and some of the surrounding areas. And our church was doing some things that we called them hope kits. And inside these hope kits, there were, you know, what we would call just, you know, helpful items and resources. You know, every one of these kits had a book inside of it called The Life and Teachings of Jesus of Nazareth. And it had the four gospels. It wasn't really a Bible, but it's an introduction of who Jesus is. And so I met Matt coming through, my wife and I were doing the food serving part, and he came through the line and, saw his shirt says Hope Dealers. I'm like, hey, it's, you know, you're a Hope Dealer and I have Hope Kits and I think we can, maybe, work something out here. And, as we got to know each other and I'm on the former law enforcement side and he's on the former gang member side. It's like, you know, only the Lord can bring two of us together from the opposite ends of the spectrum to do what we're doing now.
Yeah, only God, but God. Yep. And that's amazing. We serve in ministry together. We're out in the streets, out at, you know, and just going forward and having, you know, lots of conversations all week long. One of them that we've been having consistently is that, you know, in reference to not every place that has, you know, the name church in front of it is actually a church, according to God, right? Because there's one body of Christ, there's one church, and there is, you know, these other places known as locations that are, you know, filled with false teaching, and people have turned the pulpit into licentiousness. They've turned it into sexuality. These folks are not pastors according to the God of all creation. And these places are hurting people. You know, we see it all over with the people that we serve on the streets and people, you know, that are in the house community. And so that's been one of the topics that as we're navigating, engaging this city and this state and this nation and the world, but here specifically, all these different, you know, societal issues, with the truth of God's word. It's the same thing with this, except this topic is so significant according to God, because the false teacher, you know, their intent is to lead people away from Jesus Christ. And then it just, it's so damaging to so many of the people, because a lot of folks on the street get targeted.
Yeah.
You know, people that are already just, you know, their life is a shambles. And they do get targeted by these folks.
And you, when you use the word targeted, what do you mean by targeted?
Yeah, I mean, just drawn in to hear their lies, you know, and people stand up in front of them, you know, they'll draw them in for a service at a low bear shelter. Mm-hmm. And then they'll say, I hate when Jesus says this. This is the kind of things that they hear, right? And these are the people that they're spoken about in Jude, shepherds, out for their own interest, like dangerous reefs at your love feast. They are devoid of the Holy Spirit. And then part of their teaching is that they teach that the word of God is filled with contradictions, errors, and flaws, which is to teach that God is a liar and that he opposes his own character. And so they teach that God is untrustworthy, that nothing can be believed. And it's all, many of these folks have accepted all the, you know, the tax dollars, right? Oh. They've already, it's like, you know, and then we ask the question, it's like, you know, being sold out for Jesus is amazing. Selling Jesus out is terrible. Just ask Judas. But there's so many people that they slide the check across the table. They look at the numbers and they don't, there's no hesitation. They capitulate, they buckle, but then there's so many of these folks that have been claiming to be something they've never been. And we just had a conversation in reference to that this week. And I know James, you know, is passionate about this topic as well, because we see the damage.
Yeah.
And we also do speak up and out, like scripture, like we see Paul doing it. When we know of a false teacher, we're not keeping those folks secret. We're not supposed to. Because they're leading people to the domain of darkness.
So you said you had a conversation about that recently. Do you feel comfortable talking a little bit about what that conversation was?
Yeah.
Oh yeah. Well, there's a reason why this is, called Be Bold Street Ministries.
Yeah.
It's easy to, you know, look at the surface, you know, pictures and on the website, and, you know, people have often mistakenly thought that this is just a ministry that, is, you know, homeless ministry. And that is an aspect. It's a pillar of this ministry. What one of the other pillars is, you know, how do we engage our brothers and sisters who are lost? How do we do that as a church body, as a body of Christ? But then in that, what do we unpack with that? Well, how do we determine whether there's an active, healthy body of Christ or one is actually suffering? And I think it all boils down to the question that Matt talked about just a second ago, which is, you know, is the Bible the inerrant word of God without error? And if it's not, then there's only one other option. If it has errors, then it's up to man to decide what is right. And so we either go with scripture and it's inerrancy, or we go with the opposite of that, which is we're going to have to figure this thing out. We're going to have to parse through it. And that's the dangerous part when it comes to bodies of Christ. And, you know, we have denominations and different churches out there that have concluded, the Bible's full of errors and can't trust it. So we believe that it says this. So, you know, therein lies a real challenging topic for the real body of Christ in America to encounter, is how do you address, you know, these churches? And we clearly see in Matthew that Jesus is addressing that many will come to me on that day and say, Lord, Lord, didn't we cast out demons in your name and heal in your name? And he's going to say, depart from me, you workers of iniquity. I never knew you.
Yeah, lawlessness, iniquity, you workers of lawlessness. I never knew you.
And he's not talking to pagans right there. He's talking to people that think they know Jesus.
Yeah.
So there's literally two choices and the way I see it, there's two choices. You either accept the scriptures for what they are or you don't. And by the way, there are over 24,000 manuscripts, Old and New Testament, that have been confirmed through the study of hermeneutics. That's the study of Greek, Arabic, Hebrew, and Latin. And they've all concluded the same things, from the most liberal translation to the most stringent translation of the word. And it all means the same thing in four different languages prior to the King James Version. So you can trust it. And yet we do have denominations that say you can't. And so I encourage our listeners to not just take our word for it, but do the research yourself, and you will see and conclude what we have is that the word is trustable and it's infallible.
Yeah. And one of the specific not gospels that we continue to hear here is universal salvation. Everybody is just saved. Nobody has to believe. Everybody's saved, which is in opposition to the gospel. Not everybody is. God doesn't force people to be with him forever that don't want to be.
Yeah. That is coming from pulpits?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Multiple in this city. Yeah. There's a lot. That specific not gospel. Because it then what is, you know, what is Paul talking about in 1 Corinthians 15?
Mm-hmm.
What is John speaking about? What is Romans talking about? Believe in your heart, confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and that God raised him from the dead and you will be saved. Why does it continue to say believe? Like somebody is making a decision. They're making a choice. And so what about the pagan that hates everything Jesus Christ and they're an Odinist? What about the person that's in pursuit of the Greek pantheon? What about the person that is the Luciferian? They worship Satan.
Mm-hmm.
So eventually, at some point in time, God forces them, based off from universal salvation, everybody is saved. Then, I mean, it's a message that is leading people to the pit.
And it's in the culture sort of writ large as well. You hear that a lot from self-help gurus, TV talk show hosts, and it's been kind of out there in the zeitgeist, so to speak, for a very long time.
And the people that are pushing it here are the ones that are trying to eliminate more and more accountability. These are the folks that are pushing that message here. And we see the results of it. Mm-hmm. Hey, this isn't my fault.
Yeah.
This is a disease. My drug addiction is a disease. These folks told me this, you know, so they're comforting people and they're affirming, they're celebrating their sin rather than, you know, loving people with, you know, truth and accountability. And so we see that all the time with folks on the street because there's multiple organizations, you know, that have church in their name.
Mm-hmm.
And, I can say this for sure. And the people that call themselves pastors are of their father, the father of lies, Satan. And we've had those conversations face to face. We get to call those folks to repentance. We get to speak truth and love.
Mm-hmm.
And the response typically is screaming.
Really?
Yeah, I've been screamed at multiple times. Like, this is where I share with you again, you're a false teacher. You are leading people astray, and you are only harming people. People that God loves, and you are positioned against him as his enemy. And so we do have those conversations with people that are in those places, because those folks are out trying to funnel people into those locations. And they're trying to dupe the body of Christ into coming along and support, you know, the fruitless works of darkness that they have going on. And I'm just speaking specifically, that's to a specific low barrier shelter entity here.
Well, we're just about out of time in this episode. And I know you're both out there. You're both out there every day. Anything else you want to make sure that you share with our listeners for this week?
God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, that whosoever believes on him will not perish, but have everlasting life. And if you surrender your life to Jesus Christ, you will never regret it. The only reason that me and James get to sit here today is because God has transformed our heart, and inevitably through that, our behaviors have changed. We're not involved in crime. We're not out, you know, just being sin-soaked individuals that are helping destroy this city and the surrounding cities anymore. And nobody is too far gone, even these folks that we just talked about. These folks, as long as they're still living, that are out there teaching falsehood, still have opportunity while there's breath in their lungs. And so we're going to keep sharing the gospel. It's the only answer to the source of everything wrong with this city, this state, this nation, the world, and the source of everything wrong is sin. And the gospel is the only answer. So we've actually been given, you know, the only thing that, you know, sets people free from a body of sin and death.
I think I'd like to piggyback off of what Matt just said. And, you know, for folks listening today, if you don't know Christ, you know, my question to a lot of people in the street is, you know, I'll generally ask, you know, hey, how old are you? And, you know, I'm 35, 40 years old. I'm like, you know, there's a good chance that every decision you've made, you've co-signed for the last, you know, 35 or 40 years. So now my challenge to you is, why don't you give Jesus 2 weeks of your life and see what happens? Give him a month. You have nothing to lose and everything to gain. Give him a chance. See what happens. Because we all have a clear history of when we're trying to do things in our own power and in our own strength, we will generally have a day or two or maybe a week of, you know, some success and, you know, kind of like that white knuckling it. And then we just kind of drift back into the same behavior. It's like, none of us are capable of that. I wasn't capable. Matt wasn't capable of that. And we had to find something outside of ourselves that was beyond ourselves. And his name's Christ. And he was the only thing that was able to rescue me from the things I was involved in and things that Matthew was involved in. So my encouragement today is just give him a chance. You have nothing to lose.
All right. Thank you both.
Remember, hope isn't found in circumstances. It isn't found in government, politics, or possessions. Real hope is found in Jesus Christ. Thanks for joining us for The Hope Dealer. We'll see you next time as we continue sharing stories of lives changed through faith and the power of God's love. Until next time, be generous with your kindness, bold in your faith, and never stop dealing hope.